Good afternoon. I'm Sergey Zubkov, and I'm going to talk about dealing with memory allocation failures in C++, just like those. Cover a few things. What is memory? What it means to be out of memory? What it means for allocation to fail? When someone decides to deal with allocation failure, what do they do and why? And finally, how common it is and how well does it work, if at all? Since this is a C++ talk, first let's briefly look at resources. What is a resource? The best definition I could find was something that exists in a limited supply, but there's more to it than that. Some resources are assumed. Programs go ahead and use them, and if they run out, they get throttled or killed. Those are CPU cycles, network bandwidth, and in C++, stack memory. We don't have a stack overflow exception. Other resources are checked. Acquisition of a resource can fail in a way the program can respond to. This includes things like open files, network connections, various hardware devices, and in C++, heap memory. The standard says allocation function fails to allocate memory, shall indicate failure. Now, since well-written C++ acquires resources in constructors, constructors can throw exceptions, right? So when does that happen? Just looking at the standard library shows that there are many times more constructors that acquire heap memory than the constructors that acquire all other checked resources combined. In fact, I only found 4 constructors in the library that are specified to throw a system error, 6 if you count the draft technical specifications, but bad alloc is thrown from every container, string, string buffer, function, shared pointer, anything at all that allocates something on a heap. Now, imagine you're a good programmer, you want to handle all your errors. So you decide to go in a library or today on the internet and see what the experts have to say about handling memory allocation errors. And guess what? The experts seem to say the same thing. Handling allocation failure is pointless. Effective C++ used to say otherwise, but it changed. So why is that? To understand what's going on, first let's look what memory really is. Today, and for the better part of the last 50 years, when we say memory, we mean page-based virtual memory. The process sees a homogeneous address space, but some pages may be mapped to memory, others to disk. Some pages may not exist at all, and the system promises the process that they will be there when it needs them. The total number of virtual memory pages that have been promised to a process are known as the commit charge, and if the commit charge exceeds what the OS has at its disposal, physical memory and swap, we have an out-of-memory condition, or do we? Very common idiom in Unix programming is to launch another process using a pair of system calls, fork and exec. Fork duplicates the entire virtual memory of a process, exec throws it all away. Imagine you have a Mozilla running that's using up a gig of memory and it wants to exec some tiny plugin. So commit charge of your system is going to jump by a gig at fork and immediately drop back at exec. Just to demo, I ran this little program on that allocates some memory and then forks, and I ran it on a Solaris box, which I think had 27 gig free combined memory and swap. So allocating 10 gig, fine. We can fork after that, no problem. Allocating 20 gig, fine, but fork fails. Now, those of us who program on Windows don't have the problem because there is no fork. For some other systems, there are alternatives, but they did not achieve widespread use. What did achieve widespread use? Overcommit. Well, some operating systems behave, as I described earlier, with strict commit accounting. Several operating systems allow allocation to succeed even if there is not enough memory to actually satisfy the request. And then, of course, if every process actually pages in all the memory it was promised, then the OS has to go on a killing spree. Well, for some people it's a curse, for others it's a blessing. I've seen it in production both ways, and both ways work beautifully when used appropriately, and this could be a whole other talk. What matters to this talk is that that is used to justify lack of error handling. I see this malloc never fails over and over, and phrased that way, it is wrong. On Linux, always overcommit is not the default. And even when enabled, allocation can be limited by R limits and ultimately limited by virtual address space limits, 2 gig on 32-bit, 128 terabyte on 64-bit. And you can see that level DB issue discussion is an example where this is used to justify lack of out-of-memory handling. But even on Linux with those settings, does it really mean you don't need to care? Consider vector of size minus 1. The program is not out of memory, it just has an error, a bad allocation. GNU-malloc won't even ask the kernel for this much memory. It fails its own sanity check. Of course, when written this way, it's obvious it's a bad code, but what if the value came off the wire from a file, was entered by a user, then you have a denial of service attack. Of course, we all know it's unsafe to rely on any input, but how hard is it to check it? I didn't have to search a bug database for this slide. I just looked at Google. These are top hits, OpenSSL, Stagefright, libxml, OpenSSL yet again. Very mature, very popular libraries that make bad allocation requests on malformed input and crash their users. Now, if you pay attention, all those were C libraries. And yes, C has a draft, malloc returns an error code and allocation failure, and dealing with that in a complex application is hard. Some libraries just give up. Notably, the ubiquitous library glib, shown here, crashes in gmalloc immediately when allocation fails. This will come haunt us later in this talk, but meanwhile, in C++, we have exceptions, which make it easy to deal with broken buffer lengths, like in this actual piece of code, just catch bad luck and all is well. But does it mean C++ programmers deal with allocation failures, and is that why I didn't find any famous denial of service attacks on C++ libraries? Does anyone remember this one? 2009, not that long ago. This is the post from Backtrack. I didn't write it, it's just a straight copy-paste. Anyone remembers? Well, I don't either. All it was a simple JavaScript, runaway JavaScript. Browsers already deal with it, or not deal with it, whatever they decided. So nothing changed after this bug report. That was not a bug. Well, that makes you wonder, does anyone really handle allocation failure? Now, in my career, there were times when process termination ranged from undesirable to unthinkable, regardless of whether I couldn't write more data to disk, open another socket, spawn another thread, or allocate more memory. And that resilience was a major reason to choose C++ in the first place. But of course, I'm just one programmer. And C++ is used in so many environments by so many people that one programmer cannot be familiar with a significant fraction of that. So I decided to take a look at open source software today. I went to Debian code search and typed in catch.star/badalloc, right there. It's not easy to find every case when allocation failures are dealt with, because people can and do catch all exceptions when they don't need to know why exactly a particular task failed, or they might be using non-throwing allocation methods and pass error codes around. But this simple search, well, although it underestimates the data, I expect it has a good chance to show what people do that is specific to memory. Besides, this is already 3,000 pieces of code. I looked at each one, but I can't promise I understood them. So here's what I found. Almost half of all the cases were libraries, especially libraries that aren't exception neutral. Many simply don't allow exceptions to leave their interface, perhaps because they want to be callable from C, Fortran, or badly written C++. So they convert badalloc to error code. This is really just an interface convention. C++ caller may convert the error back to an exception if it needs to unwind a few more stack frames before it can deal with it. This is exactly what Notepad++ does, for example, to show the file too large pop-up. Quite a few libraries have their own exception hierarchies, perhaps more than I would expect, and some C++ libraries called from Java, Python, Ruby, what have you. So they convert out of memory, well, convert badalloc to the form that allocation failure takes in that language. And finally, a few catch badalloc just to throw it again. That's actually useful. I'll show why in a moment. But conversion to error code, by the way, does not mean that the caller will check that specific error code. For example, here, code editing library Scintilla returns status badalloc error code, but its user, Notepad++ on the right, just compares the error code with status OK, and if it's something other than OK, handles all errors the same way. In this case, it will go up a few more stack frames and pop up a window saying file to boot. There's another illustration. There's a C++ standard library itself, which where a bad lock is caught and replaced by a bad bit on a stream. Error code is not always returned directly. I mean, there are examples even of global error codes, like similar to Erno. As I mentioned earlier, plenty of libraries have their own exception hierarchies. Just an illustration, there's POCO, failing to bind some variables in a SQL statement, and so it catches the memory-specific bad alloc and reports a domain-specific PostgreSQL exception. A few frames up, and it doesn't matter why the transaction failed. And as for rethrowing, even an exception neutral library may have the reasons to cache bad alloc just to clean up the non-RAI resources. This is an example from DQP, which is one of the libraries used in the Chrome browser. And sometimes it's simply because other exceptions have to be handled differently. Well, bad alloc is somebody else's problem. Now, the second most popular approach to allocation error handling is termination. And no surprise here, that is, after all, the common wisdom. And fail-fast approach certainly is excellent in many use cases. I saw a few ambitious examples where the default handler was to abort, but the code was written to allow replacement handler which doesn't abort. And I saw just one case where the parachute technique was used. That's allocating some memory up front and releasing it on bad alloc so that there is enough heap to save a checkpoint evoke to land safely, so to speak. It seems to be really rare in the wild, and I think it would be more successful in a single process embedded environment of some kind. But as for termination, besides logging, one additional thing people often do is removing temporary files and log files, things that the OS will not clean up for you unless, of course, you use the magic temp files from the C standard library. And as with glib earlier, there's always the danger that a library that terminates an allocation failure becomes popular. Here's WebKit, whose fast malloc terminates. And so do all WebKit-based pieces of software that can guarantee that everything will go through the special non-crashing API they have. And that will also come haunt us a bit later. But now for the more interesting things. I found 35 packages that found a way to proceed despite allocation failure. Some applications can simply allocate less. Audacity, for example, will allocate a smaller audio buffer if it cannot get what it wants, and it will just refill it more often during playback. Sometimes bad alloc has to be simply ignored. That happens in code that's called from a destructor, even though it's rare for destructors to allocate in the first place, and after unwinding a few stack frames, there's generally plenty of heap to go around anyway, but in any case, you cannot leak a bad alloc. I also saw an example where bad alloc caused by adding an item to cache was swallowed because, well, it's cache. If we need the item again, we'll recalculate it. And the approach that I expected to see was the one that's used by STL algorithms themselves, was to trade speed for memory and switch to an algorithm that is less memory hungry at the expense of doing more work. This generally means in-place algorithm replacing one that requires additional storage. There are also applications that find ways to make more memory available so they can move on. Only six of them, at least, among those that catch bad alloc, but this kind of response is also what set new handler can do and the non-throwing allocation functions. And I saw two cases, GNU Radio and InfiniDB, that just try again. No wait, no special logic, just try one more time. I don't think that works. No wait. Immediate cache bad alloc, try allocation again. True, yeah, okay, there's a small chance. Fine. Yes.
But we do that actually. Mm-hmm. We serve requests because sometimes somebody might come along with a large request and push everybody out.
True.
You got served, we just try it. So sometimes it does make sense.
Right, well, hoping that's for them. all right, this is one example of an in-place algorithm being used, this machine learning package MLPAC attempting matrix transposition and switching to in-place algorithm if the out of place terminates with a bad alloc. All right, now quite a few packages, 68 by my count, actually leverage second ones offered by the C++ exception so that they can roll back and cancel the action that caused a memory allocation failure. For the most part, those are interactive applications that are responding to user action, opening a file that's too large, resizing an image, exporting data for saving or printing, anything that might cause a significant memory allocation. Another common category here are the network and database servers, batch processors, anything where it makes sense to give up doing a unit of work, but doesn't make sense to give up servicing subsequent requests. So these applications defend themselves against those denial of service attacks at Octopus. And for something I never actually thought of, there were a few applications that prepare a static result to be returned when the real work cannot be done. Especially the sound driver that just plays no sound if the real one couldn't be allocated. So the application moves on, but they're just quiet. And just as an example of what it looks like, there's a PDF renderer from TextStudio reacting to bad alloc when loading the file. The caller is going to pop up a dialog window further up the stack when it gets that empty shared pointer. There are other reasons, of course, to roll back and pop up a window, like there's some memory hungry computation failure. And as an example, similarly, when network applications catch bad alloc to skip malform packets, and others might have other forms of service requests to, or tasks to skip. And finally, the big problem with any kind of error handling is that, is often overlooked, is that testing the error path. I only found 25 packages that include unit tests that catch bad alloc. And most of these are very well-known libraries, that, like Intel TBB shown here. Still just 25 out of 350 or something that catch bad alloc explicitly and out of who knows how many that attempt to handle memory failure in other ways. Testing is indeed insufficient. So those were the kind of responses to allocation failures made by those who decided to handle it. But how common are those? I attempted to answer that by taking every C++ application in one category and crashing it. So office applications. Those were all C++ applications categorized as office application by the Gentoo Linux distribution. For each of them, I attempted to open a very large file and also to paste a very large text, simulating running out of memory while typing. Even though as a user, I expect an office to persist and not lose my unsaved work. Only about half of them make the effort. That Qt handler abort is just an unquote exception from an event handler. But nevertheless, some of them definitely succeed in preserving unsaved work. But it gets worse in IDEs and code editors category. Except for a few that are saved by the code editing library Scintilla, which converts bad alloc to an error code, most just crash. Many of them are due to glib. Remember that C library that I promised to haunt us later. And speaking of the one bug to rule them all, web browsers. The only browser that really tries is Mozilla, with its two-level hierarchy of JavaScript allocation, failure callbacks, and all sort of carefully written memory handling code elsewhere. But even that hits glib when rendering a large page and caches. And of course, every single WebKit-based browser is going to crash when it hits fast malloc. Now, unlike editors, web browsers don't really have unsaved user data, other than the list of open tabs, which probably explains the success of Chrome's one process per tab approach. As I was going through the open source, I saw a couple of databases over there that include explicit bad alloc handling. And you might have spotted them in the summaries below before CellDB and Tarantool in particular. And both do, in fact, preserve transactional integrity beautifully, except Scylla has one unsolved bad alloc issue. And Tarantool includes the Lua interpreter, which crashes when allocating large Lua data structures. There are plenty of more open source C++ databases that appear to handle exceptions, Hypertable, Sedna, Sequoia, Rasdam, and CacheLot. But installing databases to test them is rather more involved than installing an editor. So I simply run out of time at this point. But what I think is significant is that users ask for memory allocations to be handled properly when databases, from the databases that don't, like those two examples quoted here. Which leads me to closing remarks. Why would someone handle allocation failure? For the most part, it is when data is on the line, when service disruption cannot be tolerated, although user experience appears to be a significant motivation as well. And C++ is carefully crafted to make this possible, in my opinion, better than any other language. And the standard library even includes examples of doing that. I'm aware of six functions in the C++ standard library that handle allocation failure. Also, despite the claims that you'll never catch them all, it's perfectly fine to handle some out-of-memory situations, but not others. Out-of-memory from a runaway embedded script or from a corrupt data packet is not at all the same as out-of-memory from failing to allocate a menu item, and that is completely different, again, from failing to pre-allocate a memory pool at startup. And finally, everything is magnified when talking about libraries. It's very hard to write a complex Linux application that doesn't pull in glib somehow, and then there's nothing you can do. On the other hand, Scintilla is why Notepad++ and other code editors don't crash as often as they could. So that's all I had to say for today. Thank you. Do you have time for questions? Oh, I see one here.
Is there a standard way to detect the difference between a bad allocation and actual out of memory?
Well, what's the difference?
you said earlier, you put it up, they were potentially different.
Right, so the question is there a way to distinguish between a bad allocation due to, well, being genuinely out of memory and a bad allocation caused by corrupt data or erroneous program, and I don't see a standard way to do that. I mean, it just, I would say that it depends on the context in the program. So if you're catching, like as I said, out of memory from a bad packet is different from out of memory from failing to allocate a menu item, but it's gonna come from a different context, from a different scope. Out of memory from a broken packet is gonna come from your read thread or whatever is doing handling of those events, whereas out of memory from opening the menu item is gonna come from your UI loop. So, you might decide to apply one strategy to one and the other to the other. The old Opera browser before they switched to the new, to everything different, they used to actually have that. They had a memory limit for anything that came from the web, whereas they would crash from menu item allocation. Over there. So the question is, if the C++ standard decides to terminate an allocation failure from a new expression, what would be the impact? Well, obviously those 300-something open source packages would find themselves crashing, and some of the things that I had worked on in the past in the embedded environments and in finance would suddenly work much worse just as well. So I would say it would be very significant, in fact. Over here.
When you're analyzing different allocation patterns and your approach to handling bad allocations, did you notice a differentiation between small allocations, like small strings, and very large allocations, like allocating many memory or video? Mm-hmm. In which case, one would expect that maybe run out of memory, or the other case, it just never would in a normal case.
All right, so the question is, was there a difference that I could see between handling large and small allocations in open source software? And yes, in fact, most of the time when people put explicit out-of-memory handling, it is for something that they expect to make a large request, such as those user actions, like if you're opening a file, resizing an image, preparing a preview, things that they expect to make a large allocation is gonna most likely, or most more often would have an explicit try block or deal with the other reporting form, other form of reporting that error. Whereas minor allocations, people just do on the fly, often don't have those. And yes, that's a clear pattern to that.
So then, as a corollary, it would be sort of a poor decision to see what's the standard decided to make all allocations just always called standard terminated, because there's a category of acceptable failures that programmers code for.
Well, expected failures. Yeah, so the comment was that, as a continuation of that, it would be a bad idea to terminate from new because there is a category of allocations that are expected to fail or can be expected to fail. All right, Titus.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that there's already two interfaces in the standard for new, like new and throw and new and don't throw.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so the comment was that there are two interfaces, non-throwing and throwing. And the only thing that could probably be discussed is changing the default. And I was reminded me of this, about this slide. Anyone notice the thing in the standard library implementation of GCC? It's a non-throwing allocation. It was actually a bug in a defect in the standard. The non-throwing, new square brackets could throw an exception. That was fixed on a defect report 1992, post C++ 14. Yes,
Ode. One of the problems is if you gradually run out of memory, it's not clear whether you're going to actually throw bad alloc or whether you're going to run out of stack space at some point. Do any of these actually kind of deal with the stack space issue?
So the question was, if you gradually run out of memory, you may run out of stack space rather than heap. And whether anybody actually handles that, and no. Wait, when my resources slide. I don't have a stack overflow exception. And in fact, the stack allocation of memory for the stack is also one of the reasons for overcommit being popular on Linux. It's a bit harder to explain in fork exec issue, but yes. Stack allocation is always a problem, yes. Okay, the comment was that running out of file descriptors can also fail without being letting you chance to check for that, because get other info in glibc crashes if we're out of file descriptors. Well, comment accepted. My classification might not be correct, or at least not applicable to every case. Anyone else? All right, that's it. Thank you for coming.